I work for Inland Fisheries and Wildlife. I like to hunt and I like to fish. It's been a big part of my career. I was with the department for 10 years. Prior to that, I worked here at Sugarloaf. I was in marketing and sales, and my wife and I were married in this church. Little did I know then that I'd be here today, and that God would use me in this way. It still blows my mind all the time. Every time I feel like I'm being used of God. How about you? Well, I want to share with you before I start this sermon that my mother instilled in me at a very early age a love for old people. I never really understood it when I was Ben's age. I didn't see the wisdom, didn't see the great knowledge base, did not see that they were sentinels and guides to an easier path of life. I went my own way, and I messed it up real well on a regular basis. But as I grew older, God put people in my life that just were incredible blessings, that I became very close with, that counseled me and loved me and cared for me. So I really love the wisdom of the older generation. And Regina Brett was a longtime columnist for The Plain Dealer in Cleveland, Ohio. And on her 90th birthday, she wrote a column that turned out to be the most popular of her career. And Regina wrote a lot of witticisms in this, I think it was 40 different words of wisdom. And you'll hear them, I'll share with you throughout my message today, some of those witticisms. But I'll give you an example to start here. It was 45 Lessons of Life, is what it was called. Number 37, Regina wrote, "All that truly matters in the end is that you loved." Number 10, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, that's really big and powerful. And this next one may be big and powerful for some of you, but I didn't really even see it too much in. But it says, "When it comes to chocolate, resistance is futile." I guess by the chuckle, that was pretty wise advice. So, back to Matthew chapter 8. I always get a great sense of expectation. My ADD kicks in big time. I'm going to go on a boat ride or a trip of any kind. Maybe some of you are afraid of the water and you don't like boats at all. But if you're looking forward for a trip and planning for a trip, and that moment comes where you make the decision to strike out, it's time to embark. It's very exciting. I'm almost like, you know, usually I'm going on a fishing trip or something like that. And I have two German short-haired pointers, and you can just say car or truck to either one of them, and they shake all over the top, excited. You know, it means something. And in this scripture, you know, Christ says to the disciples, "It's time to go." And they followed him. I really do scamper around and get very excited. He just said, "Get in the boat." There was not a great deal of preparation and plan. He said, "We're going," and they followed. He says that to us all the time, but often we don't get in the boat. The scripture does not say, you know, we also like to plan and make sure everything's okay. The scripture does not say that the disciples laid up food, water, donned their personal flotation devices, checked the boat for leaks, extra sails, bailing devices, a whistle, don't have a whistle on the water, a distress flare, and they didn't look for their GPS. They just got into the boat. God says this to us even today. Get in the boat. In order to spend more time in the water, I've often tried to impress upon my life that I need it for therapeutic reasons. Men often do things like that. You know, and it is true. I feel a great peace if I'm in a canoe or a sailboat or even if I'm working in my job at Rangeley Lakes Heritage Trust, yesterday I was delivering invitations on Rangeley Lake to a party for a fundraiser, and I was meeting people on their docks and handing them invitations, and I said to God, I can't believe you gave me this job. Great. It's not always like that, but it was certainly fun. Jen gave me a coffee cup. She's very aware of my love being on the water, and the coffee cup has this verse from Matthew 14:22. And it says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. I can live with that scripture. Okay, verse 24, back in chapter 8, it says this. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. Ooh, the boat ride's gone bad. How many people here have ever been on the water when an unexpected storm showed up? Go ahead, raise your hand. Ooh. A lot of people. How many people have been on the ocean when things got a little crazy? Were you in an insufficient watercraft? Leave your hand up. Wow. Wonder what determined it was insufficient. Your lack of faith or the seaworthiness of the craft? So, anyway, Regina Brett said this. Everything can change in the blink. This is number 15 on our list. Everything can change in the blink of an eye. But don't worry, God never blinks. Did say he slept on the seventh day, but he never blinks. He's omnipresent. He knows our hearts. He knows what's going on. He knows what the situation is about. He also knows what it's for. Have you ever... Okay. Excuse me. Storms really do show up at times without warning, don't they? This happens in life as well. You can be just sailing along in this life and you see a few dark clouds. So you steer away and try to reach safety before it hits. But sometimes when we see no clouds or warning signs at all, wham, that big old nasty storm hits us in our lives. It's like a freight train out of nowhere. Like a sucker punch from the back of the house. And we cry out to our Savior, save me, Lord. But see what the scripture says here. And this is the mysterious part of verse 24 to me personally. But Jesus was sleeping. 90-year-old Regina says that God never blinks, but in this scripture it says he wasn't just blinking, he was sleeping. Do you know anybody that can sleep through anything? It's just amazing. My daughter Natalie, we were driving back from Rangeley, and I have this old Ford Explorer, and there was a tire iron on top of some metal clips, and it was just like a bell. It's going clink, 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 and Natalie's there, and I was just looking. I said, "Man, that would be so cool." Imagine Jesus here. He's in the front of the boat. Everything's bad. The disciples are freaking out. Wow. Contentment and happiness and trust is the key to that sleep, I believe. They sleep well because they don't worry about stuff very much. They don't sweat the small stuff that often keeps the rest of us up at night. They trust that things will be okay. What a gift contentment and trust can be. Key in that is trust. I guess she was trusting my driving. I don't know. Crazy. But Jesus was sleeping. But maybe two things are happening here. One or two things, maybe both. I don't know. Either Jesus slept because he was happy and content and knew his heavenly Father had things under control. Or... he was God with us at that moment, which he was, and I'm not saying, I'm just trying to do a little interpreting here. Was he doing what all parents do at sometimes? Pretending like he was sleeping. To just see where the disciples were going to go with this. My father could sit in front of a Boston Bruins game and be snoring like you wouldn't believe. And you go over this back before there was a clicker, and that... that thing that, that dial didn't change was like a big and you turn it just slowly and try to change. And I was watching that. Is he pretending he was sleeping? But maybe Jesus was sleeping here because he wanted to teach the disciples. I don't know. Verse 25. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." What? It's going... Hey! Don't we do that? We do. I guide. That ought to disturb you. I guide people in the outdoors. I started doing this in the department when I took media on trips, writers and TV and stuff like that. It was a blast. And I got my guide's license, despite my 3-hour test. And but when someone is in charge of others, they are often trusted because they have demonstrated a certain set of skills. They have experience, training, tested ability to handle a situation. We trust them to see us through a hazard or a potentially dangerous or unknown circumstance. A lot of people do that with their pastor. Amen? Or with a counselor. We trust them based on their experience to lead us as we enter unknown territory. That is why there are 5,000 registered Maine guides here in the state of Maine. Folks want a proven outdoor leader to guide them who can handle a situation should it arise. But I have to tell you, there's good guides and there's bad guides. Jesus is a master. My wife, Rhonda, was living in Florida when I met her, and we moved to Maine. And, we were running Judson's right down here in the valley, and it was an institution that Ma Judson and her husband had started. And we were sleeping one night as we were rebuilding this place and getting it back into shape and to open, and there was a very heavy snowstorm, and she grew up in Florida. Well, after the we had hiked a lot that summer, and she had seen... when a microburst takes place and a heavy blowdown of spruce and fir comes down, and I mean, it's a tangled mess, and these are good sized trees. But the ground will be saturated, and that'll loosen their root systems, and a good strong wind will push them over in mass, hence a blowdown. Well, she had seen that, and she said, "Wow, you know, this is a girl that came from hurricane country." So she sees this type of destruction and respects it. I'm her God. She knew I grew up here. She trusts me. Shame on Bill. So it's snowing one night, and there's, after the storm, we are living in the valley, and an acoustic circumstance can take place where you can hear a snowplow way up the valley. Well, she could hear it, because the wind had started to die, and occasionally there would be a big gust. And it became closer. Closer, and I pretended, as Jesus here was, to be sleeping. As it got closer, she woke me up. She goes, "What is that?" I says, "Oh, that's the Montreal Express." And I pretended to go back to sleep. She goes, "What is that?" I said, "You remember those blowdowns you saw this summer? Well, that's it. It happens up here in the mountains. You know, it's no big deal. Go back to sleep." So I pretended like I was sleeping. The plow came closer and closer, louder and louder. "Bill, aren't you going to do something?" He says, "Yeah, I'm going to go back to sleep." Because usually it goes away. You know, it's not going to touch down here in the valley. Now this thing is roaring up the straightaway in front of Judson's. And she gets out of bed, pulls the covers back, and dives out of the floor. And she goes, "I can't believe you're just going to let us die." It's just like this. And I said, "Huh, snowplow." Well, she wasn't really very happy with me. But we trust people that have the experience. As I said, there's good guys and bad guys. God says this to us in his own way, in his own time. That even though something terrible is happening in our lives, that yes, of course, I do care about you. but I want to teach you something. Regina speaks again. Whatever doesn't kill you really does make you stronger. Anybody have that experience?
No.
We forget that he is in control and he has a plan and that he can and will calm the storm we are going through and ultimately use that trial for his own good purpose. Regina's number 44 was this. Life isn't tied with a bow, but it's still a gift. The Gospel of Matthew tells a story a bit differently than Mark does in his Gospel. Mark says a furious storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" How can the disciples say, and I encourage you to read the beginning of chapter 8, what it talks about in the beginning of chapter 8, and then you'll find that this question is amazing. For instance, in chapter 8, verse 1 and 3, a leper being cleansed of his disease. They were there and witnessed that. A centurion, an unbeliever, an enemy of these people, an occupier. And Jesus healed his servant in verse 5 and 10. One of their own was affected deeply when Peter's own mother-in-law was healed in verse 14 and 15. And then I'll read in verse 16 and 17. So all these things are happening just prior to getting in the boat. Now when Jesus had come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. She got up and went to work. And when the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, and this is in Isaiah 53, it's really beautiful, you should read it, the whole thing. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. This all happened just before he said, let's go for a boat ride. And now they're saying, don't you care? And they've seen these miracles. We see miracles even today all around us all the time. And then we forget what he's already done. He's the God of past performance, and we forget what he's already done in our lives. But despite all this, their faith had departed them there in that awful storm. They were completely freaking out, and we do the same thing today. One of the simpler things in Regina's list is believe in miracles. As I look around the sanctuary today, I know there are miracles amongst us. And I can tell by the smiles I see, the knowing smiles I see, that you know it too. Praise God. So remember that the next time that squall comes up. His will being done around us is a miracle in itself. Look at verse 26. But he said, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" In other words, what happened to your memory? Regina also had some other advice on her 90th birthday. She said this, "However good or bad a situation is, it will change." We are like sheep, aren't we? We live in the moment, we have short memories, and require the constant guidance of our shepherd. We wander off, we get lost, we get stuck in crevices, and we need pulling out. We need to be led to the living water he supplies for us to drink. We also need to be led to safe pasture. Like sheep, we do need protection. What happened here in this boat described in Matthew is the epitome of why we need a savior. Because we get lost and scared and we forget. We forget that He is in control. We forget that He is willing to be the captain of our ship. The captain of the ship that is our life. If we just let Him. We forget that He loves us deeply. That we need to rest and rely on His strength as we navigate through the storms that occur in our lives. And that we need to do the same thing when things are going well and the winds are fair and fresh. Verse 27, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him. Boy, that's us. It makes me chuckle. How could they still be amazed? Even after all that they'd already seen. How can we be amazed by something unless it is already viewed as an impossibility? Why did they think Jesus was incapable of calming that storm? The better question might be, why are we? The thing about the Bible, and it's true all the way through this, and Rob Bell says this, he's a great pastor, a young man. I think he used to be a bass player for a punk rock band. And he's leading a church in the Midwest now that has 10,000 people going to service. He's positively anointed. And he says this, he says, the importance of the Bible isn't that these things happen. Is that they happen. They happen. This is the roadmap of our own lives in many cases. And if you spend time in this word, you're going to, it's the Dorm Atlas, just like we have here in this region in Maine. I mean, it's a great way to go. You're going to discover back roads with incredible gifts and blessings. And I'm still doing it. It is just so typical of us sheep today, even today, that the disciples had witnessed people being healed by Jesus in their very presence, but they perhaps in their own minds, in thoughts unspoken, just like we have, that they still lack faith. That Jesus could see him through the storm. It took something dramatic in its instantaneous change. And ordered up by Jesus at their moment of peril to solidify their faith. Is that what it will take for Bill Pierce or you to believe? Will it have to be instantaneous and dramatic? It could be. I have some questions for you this morning. How big does your deliverance or miracle need to be for you to trust God a little bit more in your life? Are you willing to spend time to study His Word more often to then learn about what He is all about? Are you willing to commune with Him in prayer? And yes, shut up and listen. Yes, Bill. I'm speaking, preaching to myself here. Guaranteed. And are you willing as you hear Him speak in your prayer, in your meditation, are you willing to do a better job of sensing His leading in your life? His desire to captain the boat. If so, then do you understand that doing this will better prepare you to then be used by Him? It's not just a ride where you don't have to swab a net. And when that happens, you will be then filled with more amazing gifts, not just your initial miracle. As you go about your Father's business, you will witness healing and forgiveness and salvation and the calming of many, many mighty storms around you. You will be at ease answering questions like the one asked in verse 27, because you will just know what kind of man is this. You will know that He is not just a man, that He is your Lord and He is your Creator, that He is the Son of the Most High, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that He is in control and that He will see each one of you through your storm. Shut up. Get in the boat. He's the captain. Enjoy the trip. Pitch in. Pull a rope here and there. Get on board. Feel the blessing. You see, God is about freedom, not a loss of control. When we give Him control of our lives and trust in His strength to see us through whatever's troubling us or has us gripped in fear, we are then acting in a thing called faith. And we are given freedom from our fears and anxieties through that. Faith is truly believing this, that everything is in God's hands, and we, because we don't have the mind of God, we can't see, well, everything is in His hands, that, okay, we don't see the possibilities. We don't see the impending blessing that's in those things. We can't. We don't have the mind of God. We will not see the lemonade from that pile of lemons that our life might be at the moment. Please pray with me. Lord, I lay my fears before You. Go ahead.
Lord, I lay my fears before You.
And ask that You set me free from them. Help me not to be led or motivated by fear. But rather to sense Your presence in my life. Setting me free from all fear.
Setting me free from all fear.
Thank You that You are my God.
Thank You that You are my God.
Who gives me strength.
And that You hold me up.
And help me to stand in courage in the face of fearful things. Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
That You are far greater.
You are far greater.
Than anything I fear.
Amen.
Isaiah 41:10 says this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Praise be to God for His word. I would ask the greater purpose come forward at this time. Lead us in a time of reconciliation, peace, and joy. Regina also shared this, number 11. Make peace with your past so it doesn't screw up your present. She said this in number 26, always choose life. Number 27, forgive everyone everything. Number 33, God loves you because of who God is, not because of anything you did or didn't do. We're going to have a little time of decision here right now. If you want God to be the captain of your ship, if you don't know the Lord and you want to take that first small step towards getting in the boat and learning more about what being in the boat of Jesus Christ is about, then as they sing, will you please come forward? If you want to pray for someone in your life, then you come forward and we'll pray with you. Don't let fear keep you in your seat. Show Jesus at this time that you trust Him, that you've got something to share. And if anybody else would like to come with a friend and pray with them, I'd appreciate the help. Let God lead this portion of the service in a mighty way. Regina said this, when in doubt, just take the next small step. Amen.